God wants us to move forward, and we need to learn how to shake some things off tonight. So let's talk about that. Leaving discouragement behind. Pray with me if you would. Father, we need you tonight. I pray that you would work in our hearts. I pray that you would give us grace. God, we need you desperately. We confess that without you we can do nothing. Well, we also understand that this is for your glory. We can sin and we can go away from you, and often we do that. And there might be some that are struggling with some of that tonight, some things that are in us that are hindering us. But God, without you, we can't do anything that honors you. We can't do anything that brings glory to you. We can't even draw our next breath. So tonight we ask for your help. I pray that you would help us to see with clarity what you'd have us to see. Like we said in Sunday school this morning, I pray that you would prick our hearts. I pray that you would help us to be affirmed in some truth that you would have us to live according to. And then, Lord, give courage to those that need to take that step of faith and obedience and surrender and whatever it is that you want us to do. And we'll give you glory for how you work in us. And we'll give you we pray for your blessings one more time. In your holy name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Some things can be avoided if you just pay attention. We were on the road on the way to Oklahoma City, and there was a dresser that was in the middle of one of the lanes. And I saw the dresser up in a distance in the middle of the night. I'm talking about like a dresser with chest of drawers and everything. In the middle of one of the lanes. I mean, you hit that with your minivan or whatever vehicle you're in, I mean, that's going to do some damage. And I saw it quite a ways ahead. It was in the slow lane. And I was in the passing lane because I was going to pass a semi, and I saw it ahead of the semi. And so I thought, okay, so that semi driver doesn't see that dresser yet. And by the time he sees it, I'm going to be right on the side of him, and he's going to swerve over and throw me off the road. So I decided I'm just going to wait behind the semi. When he finally sees it, let's see what happens. And plus it was kind of, I'm just going to see what happens, you know? I mean, semi run into that thing. I mean, it might be interesting. So just like I predicted, he finally saw it at the last second, and he swerved. I'm talking about a semi. He swerved over into my lane and back over into his lane, and then I passed him. And accident was averted. Why? Because I looked ahead and I saw that, you know, this bad thing could happen. And of course, the girls saw it. They were one of the last second ones and swerved over and missed it. But I'm glad you missed it. Sometimes things come in our path, and if we just give attention, if we think, we can avoid some problems. You know, have you ever talked before you thought about what you said? Okay. Nobody's hand went up, but we all are there. Okay. If we just think before we make decisions, if we think ahead, if we look ahead, then we can avoid some problems in our life. By the way, that's the wisdom of God working in us. God wants to work in us and give us direction, discernment. He wants to help us to see the future so we don't say things, and we can avoid problems in our life. And he guides us that way. Sometimes problems cannot be avoided, though, because we're not the ones who are a part of the problem. We're just coming into it. And also on the way home from on the highway, there was a semi that was turned over on its side in the middle of the interstate, taking up both lanes. I'm talking about the semi was on its side in the middle of the highway, and there was a traffic, and it threw us behind for 35 minutes. There was nothing that we could do to avoid that circumstance. We weren't a part of it at all. And there are some things in life we come into and we can't avoid it. There are times when people are offended, people are hurt, the people are jealous. There's a jealousy or an envy that takes place, and there's friction in a relationship. And we want to make things reconciled. Or at least it should be our attitude. If we're walking with God, we should want to reconcile things, right? We shouldn't want to hold on to grudges. If there's a grudge between you and somebody else and you're allowing that to be held on to, then you're wrong with God. It doesn't matter where they are. We can get right with God, and we can reconcile with anybody we are at odds with. And so the scripture teaches that. So sometimes there is a friction in a relationship, and in our heart, we want to make things right. We don't want there to be friction there. We don't want there to be a problem there. We would like to move past this. But the one on the other end of it, they're not ready to move past it. They don't want to reconcile things. Did you know you can't make somebody forgive you? I mean, you can be sorry. You can be genuinely sorry. You can say the words, I am genuinely sorry. But it doesn't mean that they're going to receive that and all will be well and we're going to forgive like Jesus forgives and we're going to move past it and we're not going to hold on to it and we'll be able to reconcile. Although we might want that, not everybody will be that way. So what do we do in those circumstances? How do we handle situations when there's a friction there or a problem there and it really can't be avoided on our end because we've done all we can? This is what Paul is dealing with here. The disciples are in the region here and they're preaching the gospel. And as they're preaching it, they're delivering a message to the Jews who are initially excited, and a Gentile nation here, or a group of Gentile people, multitudes, the Bible says, that are excited about the message of the gospel. And they come back, the city is filled, and the Jews, therefore, when they see the city excited and the Gentiles in the city excited and the multitudes wanting to hear the gospel, the Bible says they were moved with envy, and meaning they were moved with jealousy, and they began to reject the message of Paul. And that's what's happening in our text as we're coming into this. Take a look at it with me, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold after this rejection and contradicting and blaspheming at the last part of verse 45. They waxed bold. And they said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, meaning to the Jews. Now think about this. This is the grace of God to the Jewish nation, that Jesus came to die for the sins of all of mankind, and that the message of the gospel would be delivered to the Jews first. They would have an opportunity. Not that it ever was meant to be only to the Jews, but to the Jews first, to say that they would be the corridor or the messengers that would deliver the gospel to the rest of the world, or whatever it is that God wanted to do through the Jewish nation to get the gospel to the world. But the scripture teaches that the Jews rejected the gospel. And so after the rejection, Paul here says that we're going to move on. We're going to move on to a group who wants to hear the gospel, seeing that put from you, verse 46, you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, meaning they rejected it. Verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles. That was the mission, that the Jews would be a light to the Gentiles, but they rejected it. Now verse 48, and when the Gentiles heard this meaning that they're going to bring the message to the Gentile nation, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So there's a lot happening here. We have a nation of Jews who reject the message, and an ordained man of God, meaning Paul, who's going to be called of God to deliver the message to the Gentiles. And note that you have a group of people who are rejecting the message, and Paul deciding that he's going to take the message to a group of people who want to hear. Even though there are sometimes people who won't listen to the message, it's our mission to deliver the message to whoever will listen to the message. And we can't know who will reject or listen to the gospel. And so we deliver the message of the gospel. God is working in you. But there were those that hated the message. They denied the message of Christ. Published throughout all the region. Verse 50, the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the. And we'll see that in the next verse. Or we've seen this in this episode here, where there are Gentiles who are. To Christ. It's not as though God is forcing them into salvation, but they're hearing the gospel message taking place with the Gentiles. And then you have the Jews who are rejecting the message of Christ. Of the gospel, so that they are seeking to expel them out of their coasts. They're re- them out. Now, then the scripture says this, and this is the verse that I had you repeat to me, that when they left the region, they shook the dust from their feet. This would have been a symbolism. Jesus taught his disciples to shake the dust from their feet. The reason he told them to do that was the same reason these disciples are shaking the dust from their feet. Now, a Jewish rabbi of the day would have known of the symbolizing of the shaking off of the dust of the feet. Because any Jew who would have left a Gentile land, coming back into what they called the motherland of Judea, would shake the dust from their feet. And that was to say that they were leaving the defilement of the Gentiles behind. That's what it would have meant. Where we're going to shake the dust from our feet because we don't want even the soil or the dirt of the defiled Gentile nation to pollute our holy soil of Judea. Amen. And so they would shake it off, the dust. Jesus is saying to his disciples, there are those who reject the message. We deliver the message, and there are those who reject the message. And we can't keep them from rejecting the message, so what do? We shake off the dust of our shoes, meaning what? We have to move on to minister to those who will receive the message. Is it to say that we don't care for those that don't receive the message? No. It's not to say that, because we do have a compassion, and the door is open, and we want people to receive the gospel message. But it's never been our place to make somebody turn to Christ. We can't make people do that. By the way, it's not our responsibility either to manipulate people to the gospel of Christ. And we can get people to make a profession of faith. But salvation is never and never will be just words or some profession of faith. Listen, salvation is a transformation of the soul when God makes us born again from within. Amen. It's when God saves us from the inside. And so when we deliver the message, we can tell people how to be saved, but we can't make somebody become saved. Amen. And so if somebody rejects the message of Christ, we have to let them go. We have to let them, they go with the gospel, and we keep the door open, but we have to let them leave. And we have to determine that what we're going to do is minister to those who want to receive the gospel, who want to turn to Christ. There was a man who preached a revival for us several years ago. His name was Brother Dan Preston, and while we were eating lunch together once, I think it would have just been one of the days of the week, I was telling a story about how we left Andrew at the church one time because he fell asleep on the pew. He was real little, and he fell asleep on the pew, and we're visiting with people after church, and Melissa and I drove separately, and Andrew was on the pew, and we drove home, and we got home, and all the boys were there, and we counted up, 1, 2, 3, where's Andrew at? And he was at church still. And by the way, when we got back to the church, all the lights were off, and he was still asleep on the pew right where we left him. And then we also left Grant, but not at church. We left him at home one time because he didn't come to the van. He wasn't ready. And we didn't do that on purpose either because we drove separately. And we're at church, and we're just doing what we do at church, and we didn't even realize he wasn't there. He rode his bike to church, and he gets there, and he's like, Dad, he's like upset about it. Dad, you left me at home. I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry. You should have been ready to go. So, and I told that story. I don't think that happened again. It almost happened again though, because he won't get out to the van. I'm like, I'm going to leave. So I'm telling that story. And then Brother Dan Preston tells his story about his son, Gabe. And so he's 6 years old. And they left him at the church one time. Now, the way it happened was, just like us, he drove separate than his wife to church. And Gabe had to go to the bathroom, so he was in there for a long time. And his mom and dad, started to close down the church, and they left for home, each one of them thinking that the other had Gabe. So they get home, and Brother Preston is, making sandwiches for all the kids. And he starts to name off the kids, saying their names one at a time. And he gets to Gabe. Gabe, your sandwich is ready. And there was no response. Gabe, your sandwich is ready. No response. And he looked at his wife and he said, did you bring Gabe home? She's like, no. I thought you brought Gabe home. No. So, yeah, it was 20 minutes before they even realized they didn't have Gabe. He's 6 years old. He came out of the bathroom and all the lights in the church were off. He's like, man, where'd everybody go? And he walked around in the church building. I'm sure he was scared. He walked out the front door and it closed behind him and it locked. And so now he's standing outside, 6 years old, in front of the church building. Mom and dad left. He just left him there. And that, the emotions, I'm sure, were there, you know. Listen, there are times as we just try to live for God that there's going to be friction in relationships. And we don't want those seasons, but they're going to happen. God tells us, and why do you think God said this? And be ye kind one to another. And we teach our kids that, and if you don't, you should. And by the way, you should live it too. And be ye kind one to another. And then he said this, forgiving one another. Why would God tell us to forgive each other? Because we're going to hurt each other's feelings. We're going to offend each other. We're going to say things. And then maybe later, we're going to realize, I don't think I should have said that. You know, if our wife helps us, you shouldn't have said that, you know. Offenses are going to happen. And there's going to be tension in relationships and friction there. And by the way, the devil wants to use those things, doesn't he? I don't think we're with it tonight. It might be my fault, but I'm going to come down here. I'm going to take the jacket off. Let's just see what happens tonight. I think God has something for us tonight, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah, I think he does. Here's what I think happens. I think the devil sort of gets his little tentacles in people's minds, in their hearts. And he wants to put something between you and somebody else. Because what he wants to do is break up what God is doing here at Western Hills. And let me tell you, God's doing something at Western Hills. God's doing a miraculous work here. And you're like, oh, what's he doing? I mean, just hang out for a little while. By the way, can I just say this? Just show up and be here for a little while and you'll feel it. Wow, this place is a little bit different. Amen. You know, even when we're not feeling very well and we're sharing whatever we have with each other, well, that's the kind of love, you know, we have for each other. We're just going to share it all. Even in that, we can feel, wow, this is kind of special. There's something good that's happening here. And so because of that, the devil's not happy about it. And so what he's going to do is he's going to try to get involved. He's going to get in your mind. He's going to put things in your heart to say, hey, you know, so-and-so, they did that because they have that, you know, because they're thinking this. By the way, can we really know what somebody's thinking? Can you discern the motives of why people do or don't do what they do? Listen, you can't do that. I do things and sometimes I don't even know why I did it. So how could you possibly know why I did it? But the devil wants us to think that somebody has a problem with us because he wants friction to be there. He wants you to misinterpret what somebody says. Oh, I know why the pastor said that. He said that because of me. Listen, I don't know what's happening in your life. Now, I will confess, sometimes when I'm doing a sermon, I think of somebody while I'm doing that sermon. It doesn't happen very often. And I ask God, like God said to Jeremiah, don't look at their faces. I try not to do that. I try not to think of you, Brother Mike. Ooh, he needs this. Let me tell you, Brother Larry, he needs this one. You know, I try not to do that. I ask God for his help. Don't. But you know what? The devil wants you to think that the pastor does that. The devil wants you to, you know, to think that something is being said because of an issue there or whatever it is. He wants there to be friction. He wants there to be problems in relationships in the church. Why? Because he wants to destroy what God is doing here.
That's right. Amen.
And so what we have to do is we have to decide that we're going to leave discouragement behind. What we have to decide is that we're not going to let the devil get in our heart and in our mind and cause us to think things that are not true. Amen. They're not true.
Right.
So we have to reject those things. We have to leave those things behind. Why? Because God has a mission for us. We have to shake the dust off of our feet. We have to move forward because God has something for us and He has something for our church. Sometimes there is friction there and there's a legitimate reason. I mean, something was said and perhaps it could have been misinterpreted, but it was still said. Or something was done and there was, you know, and so now there's a problem there. You know what? God gave us instructions on how to deal with that. You know what He said? Go to them. Can we all say that together? Go to them. Ready? Go to them. Do you have a problem with somebody? You know what you need to do? You just said it. You need to go to them. Like, you know, yeah, I know what you need. I have a problem with Brother Larry, so I'm going to go to Brother Fred about it. No. Don't go to Brother Fred. There's an issue with Brother Larry. You go to him. Amen? And I know a lot of people have an issue with Brother Larry, so... Let me give you a cell phone number later. No, we need to go to each other and we need to make it right. That's what be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another means. We need to have forgiveness there. And that can happen. Did you know, though, there are times when forgiveness is in our heart and a desire for forgiveness is in our heart? Whether it's somebody who hurt us. And by the way, if somebody hurt you and there is friction in your soul towards somebody else, did you know you can forgive them and you can move past it? You can shake it off and you can move on. You know you can do that anytime. I mean, I said you can do that anytime.
Amen.
If there's a problem that you have with somebody else, you can forgive them now and you can move past it and you can go on.
Amen.
God will help you do that. That's what forgiveness means. And be ye kind. Joseph did it. His brothers came to him thinking that he hadn't forgiven them. And he said, what are you talking about? I forgave you a long time ago. And he spake kindly unto them because forgiveness was there. And so you can do that, but sometimes forgiveness is needful on the other end because there's an offense or there's some kind of misunderstanding or there's a friction there between us and somebody else. And we want it to be right. We desperately want it to be right. And so we go to them and say, Brother Chris, man, there's something between us. There's something that's kind of a barrier between us. And I want it to be right. And this happens all the time with him and me, but I want it to be right. And if we can get this right, and maybe he'll say, yeah, I want it to be right too, and we can move past this. But you know, did you know that sometimes you might want to get things right, but the other person, they don't.
Yeah.
You're like, well, why would that ever happen? I don't know why that would happen, but I'm just telling you, it does happen.
Amen.
So what do you do?
Anyway.
You forgive,
yeah.
But you have to move on.
Yeah.
You have to decide, not in the sense that you're not willing to forget or reconcile. That's already on the table. The door is already wide open. But if somebody is holding a grudge and there's nothing more you can do, I am genuinely repentive of this, or I genuinely want this to be right, or there's no need for repentance. There's just a misunderstanding or a friction there. And I want it to be right. So on my end, the door is open. We can get this right. And by the way, we don't have to wait till next month. We don't have to wait till tomorrow. Well, I don't feel good today. Let's do it tomorrow. No, we can do it now. We can make it right now. The door is open. But just because our door is open, it doesn't mean that the door is open on the other side. And that's what's happening in our text. There is a host of Jews who had an opportunity to receive Jesus and they rejected him. They rejected the man of God who delivered the message. And so Paul delivers the message to the Jews and they rejected it. He's going to now go to a Gentile nation who wants to receive the message. And as he is delivering the message to those who want to receive the message, the Bible says the symbolizing moving on and leaving behind that discouragement or the friction there. With the door still open, he shook the dust off of his feet. That's what we need to do tonight. That's what some of us need to do tonight. I believe that. I believe that it could be that there are some here tonight that there is a struggle that you're having. And it could be a couple of things. It could be a struggle of a friction in a relationship. And it might be that God is giving you this so that you can be the one who go ahead and decides this. I'm going to open the door of my heart. And I'm not going to hold on to this grudge anymore. I'm going to let Jesus reconcile this relationship. Oh, isn't that an awesome, freeing thing?
Amen.
Did you know that Jesus can reconcile relationships? And it might be that some need that tonight. That's where you are. and heaven forbid it's somebody in this room, but it could be you and somebody else in this room, but it could be a family member. It could be somebody that is that used to be a member, and now they're not here, or somebody who's gone. But there's still friction there. Did you know you can get that reconciled? You can get it right. You can forgive and you can move past it. And sometimes you can even go to them and you can make a call, or you can send an email, or you can send a text. I mean, there's so many ways we can get a hold of people today. It's amazing. And we can make a call and we can try to get things reconciled. Maybe there's a specific thing and we can deal with that. Remember this? You know what? I'm ready to get past it. I'm ready to, reconcile our relationship. And let's see what God might do there. And that might be where you are tonight. Let me help you to see something. That's part of shaking off the discouragement, leaving it behind and moving forward. That's where we are tonight. We need to dust off our feet. What we need to do is leave the discouragement and the friction and these unforgiving of unforgiveness in our soul that's bringing friction in relationships behind so we can move forward. And by the way, if you're not willing to do that, you're not going to move forward. You're going to be hindered right there. And so that's one side. The other side of this, that there might be some tonight that you've struggled because there's friction in a relationship and you don't want it to be there, but there's nothing more you can do about it. Have you ever been there?
Yeah.
Where there's friction and it's a loved one or a friend and you can feel it on their end and you don't want it to be there. But it's like it's unavoidable. It's the semi that's turned over and it's 35 minutes ahead and now it's just delaying. You weren't a part of it. Or at least maybe you were a part of it, but whatever friction's still there, you're not a part of it because you want it to be right. So what do? We have to decide to leave the door open. Oh, this is going to get good here in a minute. You have to leave the door open. Can I say that one more time? You have to leave the door open. But then you have to decide you're going to dust off that discouragement and you're going to move on because you can't do anything about this. God's the one who has to do this. And by the way, he can't he? Remember Gabe? He's still sitting out there. You're like, Pastor, what happened to Gabe? Do you want to know? He's sitting out there and Dad finally showed up. I mean, it was a long time. He's sitting outside for like 20-something minutes. And Dad showed, I'm sure Mom and Dad are a little bit frantic about it, but they see Gabe. He's just sitting out there on the bench, kicking his legs up back and forth, just like that. They drive up. He just hops in the car, wasn't upset at all. I mean, he even shed a tear. He's like, hi, Dad. And Brother Preston, he was amazed by that. Gets in the car and they drive off. And Brother Preston is just having a conversation with Gabe. And he said, Gabe, he was sitting out there on the bench, what were you going to do? He said, well, Dad, I knew you took Mondays off. This is Sunday night, right? I knew you took Mondays off. So I figured you'd be back by Tuesday. He didn't have a problem at all. He knew Dad was eventually going to come back. And I might have to wait here for a little while, but he'll be back on Tuesday. Did you know that sometimes people leave? They left you. You don't want that relationship to be separated, but you can't make it come back. So what do? You leave the door open. And it could be that on Tuesday, God's going to bring them back. Why is God going to bring them back on Tuesday? Because you left the door open. You have to move on because God has big plans for you. He has big plans for you moving forward. And there's some friction. There's issues sometimes. You have to shake it off. You just have to shake it off. You have to give it to God. Leave the door open, reconciliation, and maybe on Tuesday we'll get it reconciled. But for now, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to keep moving forward and give that to God. So two things tonight, and we're done. I tried to be shorter sermon, but there's two things tonight. We're right here at done. Number one, you might be the one who has left. What do you mean? You're the parents who left. And it's your job to come back. So that bitterness, it's in you. That friction, the animosity, the envy, the jealousy, the anger, the frustration, the animosity, the grudge, it's in you. And so tonight you have a chance to shake that off, to shake that discouragement off, and move on by getting things right. And that might be you tonight. You won't move forward until you do that. Okay? Number two, you might be one who has a difficult circumstance in a relationship and you want to get it right. You want to. But the other side of that coin or the other part of that relationship, they're not wanting to get it right yet. So what do? We keep the door open, we give it to God, and you move on. Did you know it's okay to do that? It's okay to do that. You don't have to continue to feel discouraged. Can I say that word again? You don't have to continue to feel discouraged whenever you've done everything you can to make it right. Let's give it to God and let's move on. Father, we need